Hey there, fellow anglers and outdoor-enjoying people. I'm Garrett, and today I will talk about a massive problem that plagues our waterways that we as anglers and outdoorsmen have mostly created. And by that, I mean all the garbage and pollution that people leave behind. It's nasty, and it only hurts one of the many things I assume you all love. Otherwise, why would you be listening? Some of this trash is accidental and unavoidable, especially for fishermen. However, what isn't unavoidable are the many ways we can limit or fix the issue at hand. Knowing these things are vital to our sport's survival. In addition to this information, which I'm sure you are all aware of, I will talk about how we can work to fix this and even gain from it in a mostly unknown but highly effective way to turn some people's trash into treasure. This may be boring to some, so I'll get it out of the way right away and spew out some awful-sounding facts about the growing crisis in our bodies of water. Though this sounds a little far-fetched, according to sources such as WaterEncyclopedia.com and WBAY.com, which is our local news station, 40% of America's rivers and 46% of America's lakes are technically too polluted for recreational activities such as fishing, boating, or swimming. I like to do these things, and I assume you like to too, so why wouldn't you try to fix that, which we'll talk about in a minute. Even though those sound crazy and impossible, they are from credible studies and were published on credible websites, and to be completely honest, I do believe it. Something that convinces me of these statistics are my many trips to this awesome but very highly pressured river near my house. I see thousands of yards of fishing line everywhere, as well as other miscellaneous things such as cups, styrofoam, and other miscellaneous garbage. I have picked this stuff up before, but more and more piles on to the point where you cannot even see where you've cleaned anymore. As well as the shore being littered with trash, so is the water, you know, the place where fish can live. And it's not only them having to live in the trash-infested water, but also the things they eat. More often than not, I find many small animals such as crayfish or smaller fish caught in the line. With some work, I can often free these little guys, that is, if they're still alive. The crazy thing about all of this is it can be easily avoided if we just cleaned up after ourselves or took some time to clean what others have left behind as well. This brings us to our next point, how to fix the issue. There's the obvious action of going to your favorite spots with garbage bags and picking up all the trash you see, but there are other options too. The main one I want to focus on is a cleanup strategy that not only may add a few things to your tackle box, but could also even make you some money, as it has done for me. So what I mean by that last part is this thing I like to call lure hunting. What it is, essentially, is going to your favorite spots or areas that are heavily fished, and you wade, swim, or walk the bank in search of abandoned or lost fishing tackle, all while picking up as much trash as you can along the way. I've done this countless times, and after doing it, I can usually find a lot. The best thing about this technique is you can often easily mix it with fishing, hiking, or whatever you like to do in the outdoors. After about 12 trips last summer, and about 8-ish trips this past summer, which were to that river I spoke of earlier, I have accumulated quite the collection of different lures and have taken out countless amounts of harmful trash such as lead, fishing line, and rusty metal. I have found so many usable fishing lures and fishing tackle items that I have started to sell them, which is the money-making possibility I talked about earlier. I had originally thought of keeping a log, and I did so, until I fell behind at about $400 in tackle. If I had to guess now, I'd say I've at least doubled that amount in lure value and sold about $150 worth of things. The lures are definitely great, but you also clean so much out of that particular body of water. I found countless rusty, broken, and unusable pieces of tackle, which I still take out with me. This takes away things such as the plastic and lead I talked about earlier, which are a major problem in the degradation of our water resource. Next, I will talk about some of the strategies I use and the places to look for lures and things that may make you some money while you do this great deed to nature. So you may ask, how is this even possible? How are there that many lures? How can I find my own? Well, it's pretty simple, actually. This particular river I am talking about so much is well known for its walleye spawning run, something I wait to fish all year, which happens in the spring. So many others also come to fish this river, and people are sometimes shoulder to shoulder, and the water is usually pretty high from the melting snow. This makes fishing difficult sometimes, as many of you may know, and lots of snags and lost lures happen. Because many other rivers share the same sort of pressure and similar runs where many people come to fish, I recommend that you go to your local river. It will be the most trashed, and you will probably find more things that could help you to fish yourself or to make some money. I prefer a river also because it's easier, in my opinion, to find lures. It would be best to go on a sunny, nice day, preferably when the water level is normal or low, and go scout it out before you actually go. Make a game plan for when you come to try the next time. Then, go to that spot with a knife, a small container with a lid, and a pair of polarized sunglasses if possible, and start looking. If you're at a river like I am, look in areas you've snagged lures of your own if you go fishing there. Chances are, you're not the only one who has. Also, look along obvious places such as stumps or logs or trees. If you don't find anything in those places, comb the banks of the river and look at any trees or bushes hanging in the water. How it works is a fisherman obviously loses his or her lure, and it either stays on that snag or falls off. If it does fall off, it is then carried downstream with the current until it snags something else, such as that low-hanging tree or bush I talked about earlier. If it doesn't come unsnagged, you may just see it in the water as you walk along, and you may just pick it out. It's that easy. Next comes the fun part, deciding what to do with the lures that you just found, and figuring out how to clean, sort, and decide what to do with them. After I find these lures, I take them home to clean and sort them. What I like to do is use a Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and scrub off any dirt or grime on the bait that I can see. If the hooks or split rings are broken, bad, or rusty, I buy some new ones at the store and change them out when I get home. Now comes the best part, sorting, keeping, or selling your finds. If you like the lure, add it to your tackle box. If not, sell it, or add it to your tackle box anyways. Some of the best lures I now use are some that I have found and never bought. Even better than that, this saves you a ton of money. An example of some money I saved from this is a story of mine from a few years ago. I always wanted to have this one lure because I saw its effectiveness in real life, online, and on YouTube, but it was $11.99 for a brand new one. I would definitely not pay that much for a lure. I never bought one, but I now own 6 of them because I have found them all lure hunting. You do the math. That's a lot of money saved. Though it seems like I may have cleaned so much out of the river and found a lot of lures, I guarantee you that I've only put a small dent in the river's pollution as a whole. If everyone did this, imagine how much better our waters would be. Imagine how much money we could save. And better yet, imagine how good the fishing could be.